May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to God. Amen. Today, the second Sunday in Advent, when traditionally we remember the prophets. The words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, sang Simon and Garfunkel. I did wonder whether to play that song to you, The Sound of Silence, but I thought perhaps we got enough as it was. And perhaps we think of prophecy as something looking to the future. But first and foremost, the prophets confronted and challenged the people in their own time. The Simon and Garfunkel song is about those who challenge us today, and we'll come back to that. And it's interesting that poets and songwriters can be prophets, and perhaps particularly during the 60s and 70s when they were singing. There were no subways, I don't think so, in biblical times. But the prophets spoke words of challenge to the people of their day. Isaiah was speaking to a people in exile, warning them it was not the strength of Babylon which had caused their problems, but the people's own sin and disobedience to God. By what we call chapter 40, the message had changed. And the prophet that the scholars called Second Isaiah had a message of comfort to God's people, that despite everything, God is still with them and will sustain them. The prophets that we know as Isaiah are speaking to the people of their day, as all the prophets did, speaking to the situation in which the people are living. But down the ages, of course, people have seen other messages in the prophet's words, a message which is applicable to their day. The gospel writers do it. The gospel writer Mark quotes Isaiah and also in verse 2, the prophet Malachi. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness." Here he says, it's a message for his time, as John the Baptist comes on the scene, announcing the coming Saviour. And that's just the beginning, he says. It's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Not just the beginning of that gospel book that he's written, but the start of the whole story with Jesus' life and death. The good news is just beginning. With the coming of the Spirit, the good news continues through the disciples right down to today. The prophets spoke to their own people in their own time, but their words have wider significance. And people down the generations have seen a message for their time, and a message of God's coming in Jesus. What else might we say about the prophets? And the prophets speak in the name of God. They claim to speak directly in God's name. "Thus says the Lord," they say. And unusually for their times, they generally have a personal relationship, as we might call it, with God. Not just seeing God as the God of the community, but the God who they hear and listen to. And they're totally committed to God, despite the difficulties that they often face in giving their message. Hosea speaks about the relationship between God and the individual and God and the nation in terms of a husband and wife relationship, a close and loving relationship, and a relationship that sometimes is broken. "Thus saith the Lord," say the prophets. Later Jewish thinkers appeal to the law and to historical tradition. When we read about the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, they are always appealing back to the law, appealing back to what is in the tradition. But the prophets were more direct. This is what God is saying to the people. This is giving God's verdict on the situation of their day, and often condemning Israel by the standards of God's character of righteousness and love. And so they face their hearers with the presence of God, his demands for faith and obedience, but also with his promises of faithfulness and of covenant love. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. God is with you. We can see Jesus himself in this prophetic tradition, speaking with God's authority, challenging people to live in God's way, being particularly scathing about those who are supposed to be the leaders of the people, but also declaring God's love and forgiveness. So what about us? Some words from Sidney Carter, another songwriter. The living truth is what I long to hear. I cannot lean upon what used to be. So shut the Bible up and show me how the Christ you talk about is living now. He addresses God, he addresses us. The living truth is what I long to be. Sorry, what I long to see. It seems to me that showing forth this living truth is our prophetic task as followers of Jesus. Perhaps we shouldn't be talking about shutting up our Bibles, for the prophets and Jesus all found in the scriptures. God's truth and proclaimed from that, God's character as they knew it and understood it. Thanks be to God who speaks to us through the scriptures. We say at Summertown after the Bible readings, as John did just now. The scriptures teach us about God, but they also encourage us to act. There was an editorial in Reform quite a number of years ago now, a humorous piece about the shepherds arguing about exactly what the angel had said. But the last paragraph of that little piece reminded us that the shepherds heard the angel's instructions about finding the baby, and then they went to look. When we read our scriptures, we're encouraged to act. So surely our prophetic task is a practical one, showing the kingdom to people who are in desperate need of it, perhaps even more than ever at the moment. And doing this not because we want to fill the pews or our Zoom screen, not because we have all the answers, but because, like the prophets and the psalmist before us, we will have many questions. When we were looking at our Bible study about Job, we looked at Job's questions and our own questions about, particularly about suffering. So it's not because we have all the answers, but because we find in our faith it helps us to live life, and we want this for others. So our task is to share with others. Share with those we meet, when we do meet people. Share with those that we are in contact with. And in all of that, it seems to me that the truth, the integrity of our lives is important. Showing the truth of God. But we're also a prophetic voice to society. The words of the prophet are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. And there's truth in that, I think, because the places where there's most graffiti tends to be the places which are run down, places where there is little hope of jobs or of a better life. Graffiti is something of a message of despair. Modern prophets also challenge us in our faith. Sheila Cassidy, a doctor caught up years ago in the violence of the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile, and later involved in the hospice movement, spoke about our complacent Christianity, that we didn't want to rock the boat of society, and challenge us to do just that. Elder Camara from Brazil, when I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist. God's word is not comfortable. God's word coming through the prophets, whether they be prophets of ancient times or prophets of modern day, challenge God's word in Christ, bringing in God's new order in the kingdom. Our prophetic task as Christians surely is to bring God's challenging word, God's liberating word, God's living truth, as far as we can, to those around us, to be prophets for today. Amen.